swimming in a sky fallen river. I was driven by the sound. I was waking up early in the morning. I was sleeping on the ground. I was walking in a crater of diamonds. I was talking to a dog. I was thinking no thoughts against anyone. I was singing a simple song. Rivers of gold. Rivers of gold. Isn't it fine when your time ain't bought and sold? Rivers of gold. I was working in a gold rush city. I was playing in a band. We had an understanding. Only we could understand. I was making a decent living in the Yukon territory, thinking of all those who came before me. I'm the one most free. Rivers of gold. Rivers of gold. Isn't it fine when your time ain't bought and sold? Rivers of gold.
Listening to Rose City Rag on CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph. I'm Jan Hall. Those of you listening at home will realize we have a live musician in the studio this morning. Bri Webb is joining us.
Hello.
I never know if I should say formally of the Constantines or whether sure. You're on hiatus. Are you?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't played in a while. I'm not sure what'll happen. We're just... We needed to stop for the time being, and I would love to think of doing it again, but it's also something that seems like maybe it's meant to lie where it is, you know.
Yeah, it, I'm sure it was always hard. The track we just listened to was Rivers of Gold, which is on your first solo album. Well, yeah. I think you've done a few solo things before, but this is Provider, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's the first thing I've formally released under my own name, which was something that I struggled with for a little while. I was trying to come up with a band name, you know, and just couldn't come up with one that I liked, so it ended up being my own name. But I can't see myself making a T-shirt or something with Briweb written across it, you know, for someone to wear.
Well, I always think it's funny when, you know, Dallas Green comes up with City and Color, and I think, okay, how do you make Brian Webb into something interesting? Yeah. I mean, maybe it could be Family Guy something or other. I don't know what the web bit would be. Family Guy Spider.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
Something like that, if you want to go out under a pseudonym.
Yeah.
It's great to have you join us in the studio.
Thanks
we always asking. Love to have live musicians on this show. What I'd like to do for our listeners at the start, though, is to talk a little bit about Bri Webb as a musician and tell us a little bit about how you started in music.
Sure. Well, I grew up in London, Ontario, and I played in bands around there, kind of punk rock bands when I was younger, kind of the early 90s punk rock scene in London, which was great and really fun. And I was a skateboarder, and there was kind of a lot of like crossover between skateboarding and punk rock. And so it was this great all ages kind of very inviting community of people who, you know, didn't expect that you knew how to play very well and were still really supportive and super fun. So that's kind of where I learned to start playing in bands and to play with other people. And I think I played in a few bands, and then around university I was kind of a little bit disenchanted with the university system, and I started thinking about relocating from London, and Guelph had a draw for me because at the time the music community here was really fascinating, like very everyone was doing really unique things, a lot of basement shows and people making homemade music, you know, which was something I loved. Jim Guthrie was a big influence and really, you know, someone that I latched on to early on when I was living in London, and bands like Royal City and Minnow, who was a kind of punk rock band that featured members of Royal City. There was a great band called the Mud Puddles at the time as well. And so I was really enamored with the scene here and had just met a few musicians who were going to school at Guelph, Dallas Worley and Steve Lamke, my friend Doug, who I'd played music with for years, was in Waterloo, and I decided to move up here and start playing music with those guys, and that's sort of around the time that we formed the Constantines. And we all lived in a house on Huron Street, 106 Huron Street in the ward, for about 3 years, and put on house shows in the basement. And that was really a magic time. It was, you know, like I said, everyone was kind of doing something unique and distinctive from everything else that was happening, and that seemed to be the drive behind all the musicians in town at the time. And it still is so, you know, and that's what I love about the creative energy in Guelph. But so that was the first time I lived in Guelph. The Constantines were very lucky in that we ended up having a great base of support, you know, around Canada, and we signed to a label, Sub Pop, in the States, and toured all around the States several times, and went to Europe several times, and each kind of year brought something new that I would have never expected, you know, things that I had dreamed of doing but never thought possible, and so that was an amazing time, and we played together for 11 years. And it was a kind of loud, you know, ecstatic rock band, you know.
A lot of energy.
Yeah, for sure. And we played Hillside several times, even when we weren't living in Guelph, and it was always incredible. And then I moved to, I was in Montreal for a little while, met a woman who became my wife, Katie Ewald, who's a contemporary dancer there, and so we were together there in Montreal for 5 years. And towards the end of that, the Constantines started to kind of wind down, and my wife and I found out that we were pregnant, and we started thinking about maybe getting out of the big city and finding a place with a backyard, you know, a place closer to a lake and some green space. And so Guelph came up again because I honestly always imagined myself coming back here. I left kind of reluctantly because everyone I was making music with was moving to Toronto. And I loved Toronto as well, and I loved Montreal, but Guelph has a pretty special place in my heart. It's a very unique community in a lot of great ways. So we came back here about a year and a half ago, and there's a kind of long story about me stopping playing music for a little while, which we can get into later if you like. But at the basically, we moved here, and we had our son, Asa, last January. He's 13 and a half months old now, and he's incredible. And so since then, I've kind of been making music more for him. I went through a period of kind of writer's block, or where I wasn't sure how to continue making music after the Constantines had stopped, and that was a big push, was when he arrived, and I realized that I could just begin writing songs for him, things that I wanted to teach him or share with him, you know, that I could put into song. So that's sort of where this album came from.
Is that why you decided to call it Provider as well?
Sort of. I mean, Provider was like me putting something on like a vision board or whatever they call that, you know, where you put something, a target goal for yourself, you know. I just wanted to put something there in a place where I couldn't forget about it, you know, a role that I wanted to take on or something that I wanted to reach for that I couldn't ignore or ever disregard, obviously. So Provider was that word. And then there were things, you know, having a kid in my head about suddenly being my entire focus was on being responsible for someone other than myself, you know, not focusing on myself and thinking about how to give a new being the life that you want them to have, you know.
Do you think that does help? You mentioned that you're having a period of writer's block and then having to start to think about, you know, as you move into a different phase, obviously, with mm-hmm. your own family. Do you think that really helped ease that and allow you to start writing music again?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it was... I didn't expect that exactly, and I know this of a few musician friends who have had children who have this period of expecting that everything's going to stop at the point that their child arrives. You know, that they're going to have to stop living this crazy musician life, which is in some ways true, but you certainly don't. There's no reason to stop creating things. You know, it's important that your kids see you doing things, being able to live in a way that you want to live and do things that you want to do and that make you happy. I think that for a child to see that that's possible in life is a pretty powerful thing, you know. So that's the period that I was in anyway when I started thinking about the songs for this.
You know, it's funny because you, you know, I always say that, you know, as we move through life, we start to realize certain things, and sometimes it takes some of us a lot longer to realize than others. And
sure.
I look at, you know, my own life, and I reflect back on all of the things I've done and where I am now, and I've always been very envious of people who are so creative that they realize fairly early on that what is important to them is to try and tap into that inner energy and not necessarily, you know, the outer energy that drives us to get into, you know, careers that,
sure.
you know, can take you down a path. I mean, that can still be creative.
And, sure, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Was that part of the reason that you decided to, when you left London to move to Guelph, were you completely unenamored with the university life that you wanted to get out? Or was it the end of, I mean, can I ask whether you, did
sure.
you did you complete in London?
I did end up finishing a degree in English and sociology, but it was, I took some time off and then kind of went back at it when I felt like I could pay the right amount of attention to it, you know. But I just didn't know. There wasn't anything that I wanted to do as much as playing music at the time. So it seemed like a massive waste of money, you know, to be in university at the time. I think there's some value to that. I decided to focus on the thing that I liked the most at the time, you know, yeah. And see if anything happened that would be sustainable, you know, and it kind of did for a while, which was amazing. I was also a little reluctant to put that pressure on making music, because up until that time it had been something that was there was no financial pressure around it. You know, I was working a lot of other little jobs while I was at school, and you know, the whole time I was playing music, so there wasn't that pressure on music to make money. And I was reluctant to make that commitment. Eventually, when I was living in Toronto, I was working at a CD distribution warehouse called Outside Music, and where it's an amazing period of it's a transition job for almost every Toronto musician. It seems, you know, everyone has to work there. And so it seemed like, I think my rent was cheap at the time. It seemed like I had the opportunity to stop doing anything but playing music for a while, and so that was more the time that I decided we could try and do the Constantines full time and make it make a living at it for a little while. Anyway, we did.
Now, being a little older now, and you mentioned that, you know, when you were with the Constantines, you were gigging all over the place and had an awful lot of things going on. And obviously, you know, you're single, you don't really have as many attachments. That's really possible.
Yeah.
When you get a little older, though, obviously, you know, family life comes along and you have other people to consider.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that also changes your music or your attitude to music.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. You mentioned just before we came on air that you're guarding your voice today because you had a fun show in Toronto last night. But there is, I imagine, a certain amount of juggling that one needs to do these days.
For sure, it's actually a lot healthier for me, I think, in this sort of system of doing things than where I was at certain points just doing music. In that, I am. At the moment, I have so little spare time between, you know, taking care of our son and working a day job and that kind of thing, that I can really only compartmentalize music in this. You know, this is my spare time. I have 2 hours, you know, today that I can go to a rehearsal space and just try and make something. So I might as well make that work. I might as well just do it rather than thinking about writing a song for, you know, an entire day or an entire week and not actually doing anything about it. You know, it's more of it needs to happen right now. So it pushes me to do a little more creatively, I think. But yeah, it's also about not stressing out the family and focusing more on the quality of life of the family kind of as a whole. So I'm just taking shows here and there. Whereas throughout the Constantines, it was always, it was never a great idea to turn down a show. If there was ever a show offered, it was really hard to turn something down, you know? And I still feel that way. I don't, like, if someone wants me to play, I'm, you know, very flattered and we'll try and make it work. But I have to turn down things now a bit more and just focus on what won't stress out the family unit, you know? So I'm just playing, you know, weekend shows. I'll be doing festivals in the summer and that kind of thing, which is it's also a bit healthier than the touring lifestyle, you know.
And then there's obviously the opportunity to maybe travel with the family if that's possible.
That's my dream, would be to.
Yeah. Especially if you need a dancer on stage at the same time.
Yeah.
And maybe a small child wandering around.
Yeah, it could very well happen. He's walking now. He just started walking last week.
That's right. I think I saw his video. That was pretty cool. The album Provider is quite a change from what you were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, was recorded straight off the floor at home. Was that right?
Pretty much. It wasn't at home, but at a studio that a friend of mine owns in Toronto, in Kensington Market. And it's a great live space. It's set up, you know, some studios are set up where you'll have different rooms and they'll isolate instruments and that kind of thing. This is just one big hard-surfaced room. So the only way to do things really there is to just record everything live off the floor. And Jeff McMurrich, who's the engineer there, he worked on the last two Constantine's records, produced and engineered those. So I've known him for a long time, and he actually just kind of asked out of the blue last summer if I had anything to record, because he was starting a label with a guy named Alex, who runs another company called Standard Form, which is an independent printing company in Toronto that does album jackets and that kind of thing. So they were trying to start a label that owned the means of production, you know, that they would be able to support artists because they could, you know, they could cover recording because they own the studio, and they can cover manufacturing because they own the printing place. And so it's a pretty amazing model for an independent label. Anyway, so Jeff called because they were working on this, and he asked if I would be interested in just trying to record anything, if I had any songs to work on. And I had just started playing with Rich Burnett, who plays lap steel, and Mike Brooks, who plays pedal steel, and Tyler Belews, who plays upright bass. Around here a little bit, we played a show at the Donkey Sanctuary of Canada for Donkey Day last June. That was our first show. And so we just decided to try and go up for a weekend and record some of the songs. It worked well. I had, with the Constantines, been through a few albums of recording things over 3 weeks or something like that, or 4 weeks. And you can really get too deep into the minutia of each song and lose track of the song because of that, you know, sometimes. So this was far, again, healthier, like, creatively for me to just go in and have to play them live off the floor with the band. And that was a decent take, or that was not the take, you know, and then move on. And it ended up kind of working, and it made a more cohesive album because it was just, that was the sound for the entire thing. So it was an enjoyable process. I'm hoping I can do a few, keep doing records with that way.
That's the way I love it, you know. I love Nick Lowe for that reason, because all of the stuff he does now is, you know, you get the musicians you mentioned, you know, Rich, Tyler, and Mike. I mean, you get the musicians that work with and work well with you, and you know you can play well together.
Sure.
But live off the floor is the way to go. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about
it's that exchange that you feel in a song, in a recorded version of a song, that the moment that happened, that really special moment, rather than something that was overdubbed over, you know, how many weeks, but I think it works.
We're going to save your voice a little bit during the show, but it would be nice to have another song just now.
Sure.
You're listening to Royal City Rag on CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph. I'm Jan Hall, joined this morning by Bri Webb, who has a wonderful album out entitled Provider. He also will be playing at Folkway Music this coming Friday at 8 p.m. Promised to be a great show, and I think there is a support act for that, isn't there?
Yeah, it's Bird City, which is Jenny Mitchell, Jenny is known as Jenny Omnicord mostly, and she's amazing.
But no Omnicord in there.
No Omnicord, just a banjo. She's going to do a banjo set, which I'm really, really excited about. I love her songs, so it should be a pretty special evening.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, what are you going to play for us now?
This is Persistent Spirit from the record. This is for Katie. I'm sending you a bird. In a steel box full of alcohol, I'm sending you my mind. And everything in it take you out tonight to the casino. And we'll let them know we came to win it. Persistent spirit. Let me hear it.
persistent spirit. Persistent spirit.
Was beautiful. That's Bri Webb live on Royal City Rag and Persistent Spirit from the album Provider. I remember Bri will be playing with the Providers, which are Rich Burnett, Tyler Belews, and Mike Brooks. At Folkway Music this coming Friday. I'm not sure how tickets are, but if this doesn't sell out, then I'm a Dutchman. Because they definitely will. I mean, Folkway Music shows tend to sell out pretty easily anyway, but it promises to be a great show.
It should be pretty nice. It's a beautiful space, and they've been really, really good to me, and it should be really nice in there for sure. All the sound will resonate off the $10,000 Gibsons, you know, and stuff on the wall.
Obviously, with a lap steel and a pedal steel, the shows are very much very mellow. I mean, they tend to reflect the music that you're making just now.
Yeah, the lap steel and pedal steel together are two like unintonated instruments, right? So it's this very atmospheric kind of sliding between notes, you know, all over the room, and it creates a pretty neat atmosphere. But it's fairly mellow. We were playing with the drummer Adam, who's in Interstellar, and he's around town playing in a lot of bands. Common Grapple.
Adam Bowman? No.
I can't believe I'm blanking on his last name. I know him as Mad Adam. a lot of folks know him as Mad Adam around town, who's amazing. And he played with us for a few of the release shows that we did, the Music Gallery in Toronto, and a few other things, and it was great to travel with him. He played on a few songs, But we're good. I think the Folkways show will be just that group, the core group from the
And there's a lot of other instruments in the room that will join in.
Exactly. And we have maybe one special appearance by Chris Room on fiddle, I think. We may do a Michael Hurley cover with him on fiddle. We're just going to work that out on Monday, I think. But
yeah. Do you do many covers as part of what you're doing now?
Occasionally, yeah. We figured out a version of Smoke Rings by the Mills Brothers, which is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, my God. My dad used to love the
sure.
Mills Brothers.
Yeah. I love the Mills Brothers and the Ink Spots and that era of
great stuff.
Music, for sure. Very, again, atmospheric, like, has an amazing mood. That stuff.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, that music has... It's funny. It's really not dated at all because of the, you know, and I think it holds up really well. But I think a lot of it's also because of the recording techniques they used at the time were much more
rudimentary.
Exactly. And there, you know, there wasn't this attempt to,
absolutely.
You know, as you talked about, separate the different instruments and overdub, you know, forever.
I think that's why people go back to that stuff and like Folkways recordings, you know, the Anthology of American Folk Music and stuff, is it's just pure documentation of moments of people playing music, you know.
I'm going to put a plug in for another show on CFIU. I mean, hopefully enjoy listening to this, but also Greg Denton does a wonderful show on a Sunday morning, 7 a.m., The Ungodly Hour, which this past week I was reflecting on the fact was the really ungodly hour because the clocks changed.
Yeah, it was pretty
But it's a great place to listen to some really cool folk.
Yeah, it's nice to have that show at that time. Any early shows on the radio with our 13-month-old, we're up at about 5 or 5:30, so I'm always happy to hear live voices.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. I want to ask you about something that I think probably is something you get asked about a lot, and that's the Feist connection, because I played a little bit of Walk Off the Earth, this band from Burlington that YouTube basically broke with their cover version of Gautier's Someone I Used to Know. But when an artist breaks through, and obviously Leslie Feist really broke through, with the Apple ad, 1, 2, 3, 4, and everything. You have, I think, played, you duetted on her album Medals.
Yeah.
And then you played on tour with her as well, right?
Yeah. It was sort of a crazy thing. I've known her for a long time. The women who ran our label in Toronto, Three Gut Records, that put out, all of the Constantine's records in Canada. And it was a great independent label that was very much connected to Guelph. Royal City was on that label and everything. She was just close friends with Tyler and Lisa, who ran that label. And they used to throw these crazy parties in Toronto, just fun, you know, themed parties, like a UFO-themed party, and then have, like, people DJing in a giant warehouse loft in Toronto somewhere. And then bands would play, like bands from the label would play, and it was just an incredibly fun and very creative scene. If they were doing these shows, they would do things like hang strings across a street in Toronto with invitations, you know, hanging from a string and stuff like that, just kind of installation like kind of stuff, and really fun kind of creative stuff. So anyway, that was going on at the time, and Leslie was had connected with that, so I've known her for maybe 9 or 10 years now, and throughout that time she was like she was playing with By Divine Right, and then started releasing things on her own, and you just saw this incredible like transition into who she is now and the performer that she is and songwriter and singer, which is incredible. So on top of being amazingly creative and smart musician, she's just also very generous and supportive of all the people that she kind of came up with in Toronto and people she played with, and luckily for me, you know, just she called me and asked if I wanted to sing on a record. She was doing this duet kind of song and called The Bad in Each Other, and I think she's looking for someone with a low voice to sing, and so I went to Montreal, and we recorded at this beautiful Studio Victor in Montreal, which is the old RCA Victor factory and studio, and it was really fun. Just she's able to set people at ease. You know, I went up there terrified that I was going to be the weak link on the record, that I was going to do something that would cause an awkward situation between the two of us, and it ended up being completely fine and fun. And and then as I was working on Provider, the record, she called and asked if I wanted to open the Canadian part of her tour after her record had come out, so which was another incredible surprise, and that'll that gave me the opportunity to play these places that I had dreamed of playing my whole life and never imagined possible, like Massey Hall. It still seemed like a dream that I was able to play these songs, you know, in that place for people. I've seen so many great shows there, you know, myself, and always that was the one like place that I'd always dreamed of playing. So, I owe her a lot. She's been incredibly supportive and really kind to me, for sure, especially over the last year, but all along too.
So the style of music you're playing, I mean, it obviously lends itself to very much to duetting. Mm. Any prospects for other duets in the future? Or?
I'm not sure. It might happen. Jessie Bell Smith just asked if I would sing on her record, which I would love to do. I think she's amazing. And she's working with Andy McGoffin, who's an old friend of mine from London. Now in his studio's moved to Cambridge, and it's incredible. And so I hope to do that. To be a part of that. And Jenny Mitchell and I were sort of, e-chatting or messaging back and forth about making a record that had sort of a Spike Jones, like early, you know, kind of that kind of moody, like offbeat, almost like Tin Pan Alley kind of jazz composition or something like that. So, or like Irving Berlin or something like that. Something with that style of composition, maybe. So maybe that'll be a summer project or something. I have to be careful not to take on too much. But
I was also thinking with the Jenny Mitchell connection, whether you would be writing some kids' songs.
I would love to. Jenny's funny because she's also really devoted to finding songs that aren't written specifically for kids, but that kids will like, right? I love that approach to making music, you know. And I guess, I mean, this record, like I said, a lot of it was written for Asa, our son, so it is in that way a kid's record, you know. The first song is called Asa, and it's just
a very beautiful song. I love that song.
I wish I could play it right now, but I wrote it on a tenor guitar, which is strung very differently from this guitar, and I've tried to figure out or transpose it for my acoustic, but I'm maybe I was up too late last night to try and do it live right now. Yeah. But
it was a cover show, I think you were doing.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. So there's this thing called Loving in the Name of in Toronto, and it happens once a month, and it's a house band of incredible Toronto musicians, who are all multi-instrumentalists, and they try and do things as authentic as possible. They're kind of purists, but they do kind of a ridiculous set. Like last night it was something like Lionel Richie, Talking Heads, Stevie Nicks. What else did they play? Oh, I can't remember some of them last night, but it was. And then I was invited to sing with a little help from my friends, but the Joe Cocker version, which was. That's why my voice is a little raw this morning, for sure. I had to learn that the scream in the middle of that song, and I was. Was pretty committed to that.
Yeah, it's you go down the Joe Cocker road. It's very hard to come back.
It is. Yeah, well put. Yeah. But yeah, so it was an amazing night, and it's at the Great Hall in Toronto, which is this beautiful little theater. Yeah. And it felt like, you know, the last waltz or something like that. Rotating singers.
Yeah. That's a... So
it's sort of a rock and roll fantasy camp, you know, for singers and musicians.
For people like myself who just, you know, don't play but love to appreciate it. It sounds wonderful. We're hopefully going to have time for a couple more songs from you. We are trying to protect your voice because of the... the Joe Cocker aspect. I should actually also mention that it is open house at CFRU today, and Brian is actually at CFRU as well. We were trying to sort of play that very cool because this is not about Brian Webb, who's a programming coordinator at CFRU. It's about Brian Webb, musician.
Yeah,
but
I try and keep those things, those worlds separate.
Let's just do a quick plug before you play again about why people should be listening, but they can also come down and be on the radio, can't they?
Yeah, so from 12 to 5 today, I guess, is the open house, and it's just been a really active kind of outreach, I think, for getting people to come down and realize that anyone can do this, you know, anyone can produce radio here, and there's no training necessary, or no training previous experience necessary, and we, you know, the training is all provided here.
And we have great equipment these days.
Yeah. It's three studios that you can use to produce interesting things for people to listen to, you know, and that's the idea. And I think what I love about community radio and about CFRU in particular is the idea. I think it really embraces the idea that, the more voices, the better. Everyone should come down and see what it's about and how possible it is to make something interesting.
No, it sounds great. College Royal, remember, is going on this weekend as well. If you want more information on College Royal, you can check out their website at collegeroyalsociety.com. But the CFRU Open Day is fun, and as Brian mentioned, you can get to not just meet Bri Webb, but you'll actually be able to come on the air as well. What are you going to play for us this time?
I think I'm going to try, given that it's St. Patrick's Day, I think I'll just try and do that Burl Ives cover. I was hoping I could have, learned a Pogues song or something like that, but
Sally MacLennan or something I would love, but yeah.
Next time.
We'd have to do that really loud. So
yeah, exactly.
This is Bri Webb. Now, this is Sad Man's Song,
Sad
right?
Sad Man's Song, yeah, which it's a traditional, and I've seen it named a few different things, but I learned it from the Burl Ives version, and we have a Burl Ives Best Of album that my son really loves, so.
Oh, yeah, I used to love Burl Ives as a kid as well.
I got a girl, she's long and tall. She moves her body like a cannonball. Fare thee well, oh honey, fare thee well. Someday soon, and it won't be long, someone will call her and she'll be gone. Fare thee well, oh honey, fare thee well. If I had listened to what my mama said, there wouldn't be such confusion in my aching head. Fare thee well, oh honey, fare thee well. I remember one night in the drizzling rain, around my heart I felt an aching pain. Fare thee well, oh honey, fare thee well. If I had wings like Noah's dove, I'd fly up the river to the girl I love. Fare thee well, oh honey, fare thee well.
That's a beautiful song, and I want to put a plug in for this video because there is a wonderful video which you can find on Bri's website.
Oh, that's right.
At harbourcoats.ca.
Yeah, it's actually, and it's bryweb.com now as well. It's links to the same thing.
Oh, bryweb.com.
I finally own my own name online.
But it's
produced by a guy named Mitch Fillion, who runs a thing called Southern Souls. And he just does this. He goes to towns across Ontario and records bands from that town playing in interesting spaces in each town. So this was recorded. The video was done in the backyard of a neighbor of mine, Lynn and Terry, who made this incredible Christmas light garden throughout the winter. And I'd been eyeing it up, you know, just kind of on walks at night and stuff, looking at this place. And Mitch was up for recording it there, so we just sat out there. It was like minus 10 or something, and the guitar kept going out of tune, but it ended up being a nice little moment. But and then I met the folks who, Lynn and Terry, who put it up, and we've become friends since then, which was a nice little neighborhood connection. But.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful video, and I put it up on rollcityrag.com this morning. Actually, also posted it again on Facebook as well, because there's something really nice about the way you go to the door and then you knock on the door and say, oh, well, if you... We put the lights on or something, and then you know, it's a beautiful video, and there's a great feel to it. And sounds like a really neat idea that he goes around doing this.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's so good at it, and it happens so – he's able to do it very quickly. Like, again, it's the whole thing with not overthinking or over-producing something. You know, he just does a few takes, you know, and it's, I didn't even realize he was recording when we went up to the door to ask them to turn on the lights, and then he just edits it together in this little, beautiful, little subtle narrative or something, you know, and it worked. But
well, it's so understated. That's what I love about it. I actually was watching it something, I think it was like 5:30 in the morning, and I had to wake my partner up and say, you've got to come and watch this. This is like, what a great video.
And the Guelph Water Tower is featured at the very end, which is a nice little moment too on our street. Yeah. We live right across from it pretty much.
But well, from my point of view, I would say that you seem like you're in a really good groove with what's happening. I mean, you were talking about before about writer's block and hard it is to get going. And then, you know, it sounds like you're flowing from a really good place.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel it does. Things seem to make sense right now.
Yeah. You did mention earlier about you were saying when you had there was a stage in your life where you didn't want to write music and you're kind of moving away from that.
Yeah.
Do you want to just share a little bit about that?
Sure. So what happened was towards the end of the Constantines, or as that was winding down. I was working on a record in Montreal with a group of musicians. That was where the Harbour Coats came from, that was on the website there. That was the name of that group. It was an incredible group of musicians. Mike Fierstack, who plays at Snail House, is one of the best songwriters in the country right now, I think. And he's an old friend of mine. And so he was playing guitar and lap steel. And then a woman named Sherry Pine, who's an amazing performer as well. Patrick Conan, who was a drummer in Tricky Woo for a long time, and the Hylozoists, and then a guy named Stephen Evans, who is from the East Coast, or actually from Guelph, but lived in Halifax and played in bands like the Just Barelys from out there and stuff. So a bunch of friends that all were in Montreal at the same time, and we had this thing going called the Harbour Coats, which was some of these songs actually that ended up on this record were from that period too, but we started working on a record, or I started recording that band, but I was doing exactly the opposite of what Provider ended up being, which was just recording drums and then recording bass and, you know, guitar and then vocals in, you know, different sessions between Constantine's tours, basically, whenever I could work on it, and then going into studios, like friends' studios around Montreal, and trying to figure out how to put it together. And worked on it for 4 or almost 5 years, actually, just in pieces, and then went to mix it, and it just didn't make sense as a cohesive record, you know, because it had been assembled in over such a long time. And so I was kind of crestfallen at that point. I'd worked on it for such a long time, and also because the Constantines were winding down, I was just really not... I was I didn't have a solid footing in music, you know, so or I didn't feel I did. And so I just started working in construction in Montreal, which is something I had wanted to learn for a long time, like basic kind of home house construction, you know. And a friend of mine put me to work on a place that he was basically gutting in the plateau, an old plateau duplex that just had to be torn. Like, we tore the floors out, but the actual floor between floors, and tore the roof open. And it was, you know, we were pouring foundation and stuff like that, all the way up to finishing walls and stuff like that. So it was this incredible process, very therapeutic process, actually, for me, of just working with my hands and learning something completely outside of music, and getting out of my head, you know, for a while, and doing this. So that was, I did that for a while and just stopped thinking about music, for the most part. And then, you know, as I mentioned, we found out we were expecting a baby, and we moved to Guelph. And I just started meeting people here that I really identified with musically, and players that seemed so sensitive that we could get together every once in a while and not have really formal parts for songs, but like Rich and Mike and Tyler all can just look at the basic chords of a song and improvise or loosely put something together where every performance of it is a little different, and that's something that is really exciting as well to me, and a way of playing that I haven't experienced before. So that was exciting enough that I was inspired to start, when our son arrived again, to start writing songs for him and think about recording them, because the band was, I was really excited about these players, you know. It was a strange time. It was a very, just trying to figure out what music was for me, you know, why I had done it. And again, getting it out of doing it professionally was a good thing, I think, for me. I feel really fortunate to have been able to do that. I don't lament that at all. It was an amazing time being able to make music.
No, it sounds like, to have a change like that. And it's
just to get some perspective on what it was apart from making a living, you know.
Yeah. No, that's great. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. It's been great fun and a great pleasure for me, and hopefully for everybody that's been listening to Royal City Rag at home. Our guest today has been Bri Webb, with the album Provider, which is available, I'm sure, at the Orange Monkey and Ground Floor Music. Yep. And you're on iTunes and all everything.
And digital, you can get it from the label as well if you're into vinyl and stuff. They made an amazing package for the vinyl and for the CD as well, and you can get that from the label, edefix.com, which is edefix.com.
That's great. And then you have this show taking place Friday evening, Folkway Music, 8 o'clock. You can get information on that at folkwaymusic.com or check out royalcityrag.com. We've got all the links there for everything else.
And I also just wanted to mention, in April we're going to be playing as part of Kazoo Fest, the brunch show there, and we're going to put all the money from that show towards NDACT, the North Dufferin Agricultural and Community Task Force,
Melancthon Mega Quarry. That's great. Yeah. We're going to try and squeeze in another song before we finish today. What would you like to play?
What should I do here? Maybe I'll do a Michael Hurley song.
So the end of Royal City Rag for today, with Bri Webb in the studio. I'm John Hall. We'll see you next week. Remember, check out the website, royalcityrag.com, Facebook group, Royal City Rag website, and then also on Twitter, at Royal City Rag. We'll see you next week. We'll leave you with Bri Webb.
I stole the right to live as if there was no time. I stole the eyes of God as if those eyes were mine. I took and did infuse a light that was to shine. Oh, mercy, Lord, have pity. I'm only traveling, I don't have no place to go. I walked on the streets of gold, I heard that silver tongue. I passed on satin silk and made my bed from stone. Forsaken hearts I wandered, I left them all alone. I don't have no place to go.